Penguin Random House Audio presents Tiny Threads, a novel by Lilium Rivera. Read for you by Frankie Corzo. To the countless workers toiling unseen. Prologue. The huskiness of his voice reminds her of the men back home, of tobacco and sweat. This is what draws her to him. The earthiness of his scent interlaced with the sweetness of the sprigs of lavender he carries in his pocket, like a secret. The flower is for her alone, a gift he gives her whenever he enters the shop. When she lies down to sleep on the hard cot, she inhales deeply the perfume of smoke and lavender that nestles in the waves of her hair. The fragrance replaces the strawberries that once stained her fingers. The dress she wears that night is too big for her slender frame. She always admired the intricate design of the vibrant red gown and the richness of the silk chiffon fabric, complete with a tiny leather flower gracing the back of the neck. Wearing the corset underneath, she feels restrained yet powerful, the rounded neckline framing her bosom. The dress she borrowed from the shop without the patrona knowing of her deed. It's just for one night, and she'll return it to where it belongs. She holds the white opera gloves in one hand, still unsure if she should wear them or be less formal. The gloves were left behind by one of the customers. She's never been allowed to greet the patrons, has always been tucked away in the back, sewing by hand or cutting the fabric, doing what the patrona asks of her. Not tonight. Tonight, she'll be seen with him. Encantadora, he says when they meet in their agreed-upon corner away from the shop. The patrona warned all the girls to keep away from the important townsfolk. But what does that God-fearing old woman know of these things? She's nothing like the patrona. La Zorita Zorita, señores, se fue a la loma. He leads her toward the bright lights and the sound of a woman singing. She's never once entered the saloon at this hour. The only time she's seen the inside of the place was late one morning, when the saloon owner's wife wanted her dress mended. That day, silent workers swept away the aftermath of a rambunctious night, but the pungent smell of vomit still lingered. She never once looked at the owner's wife while she worked on the dress. But now her chin is raised as everyone greets the man with lively handshakes and hints of fear. The women also nod at her as a greeting, and she does the same. They're judging her, but tonight, she's one of them. She's handed a drink, and the man approves when she empties the glass without hesitation. So many people are pressed against each other, drinking and singing loudly alongside a woman strumming the guitar, her cheeks and lips stained red. Here. He fills her glass again. Imbibing spirits has always been forbidden to her, but so is everything about this moment. The borrowed, ill-fitting dress, her too tight shoes that don't match, and the gloves that seem so ridiculously out of place now, so prim and proper, so pure. She gulps down the concoction, allowing it to warm her body, loosening her limbs. Soon the crowd moves outside, toward the back of the saloon. This way, sir, a boy says. We have your seats ready, front and center. They flow along with the crowd, and she giggles at the sight of the madness, how the townspeople are letting go of their Sunday morning demeanor, the one she witnesses when she attends mass. The churchgoers crowd around the outdoor boxing ring, situating themselves on wooden benches. Ladies and gentlemen, in this corner you have the undefeated fighter of all of California. The crowd is restless, itching for something vile to happen. The fight commences, and all around her everyone shouts while the room begins to spin. She covers her face at every punch, and he teases her for it. He leans in and whispers in her ear, "You don't like it. Too brutal for you. Let me take you somewhere quieter. The man has such gentle eyes. There's a slight chill in the air, and she draws nearer to his warmth. He caresses her fingers as he leads her away from the crowd to a barn. You're not like the others in the shop, are you? He asks, and she searches for the right word to say. The language is still so strange. The words sometimes just lay on her tongue like a lump. Diferente, she says at first, then corrects herself. Different. She holds her breath when he draws nearer. His caresses take a different tone, and at first she welcomes the sudden change. His large hand firmly holds the back of her neck, the same way she would hold a cat. But his touch becomes rougher, hurtful. She doesn't recognize this side of him, but it's too late. When she tries to back away, the slap across her face stings. She drops the gloves on the muddy floor. Las horitas, horitas, señores, se fue. Outside, the singing continues, intermingled with the screams of the people wanting more blood. All the while, he does such monstrous things to her. Her body no longer exists. It becomes a foreign object, a tool, a meal. Teeth marks on her skin, chunks of hair floating, thrusting and laughter. Others soon join, and the night will be endless, filled with such relentless pain. Later, cloven hooves will climb over her bare legs and atop her chest. There will be so many. She never screams, not once, only grunts. When I find it, I'll pull that garment from its hanger like I'm choosing a body to carry me into this world, through the birth cries and the love cries too. And I'll wear it like bones, like skin. What Do Women Want? Kim Adonizio. Chapter 1. December 4th. Samara's first day. The lobby is all dark furniture with hard edges and luminous glass walls, except for the piece of art located above the reception desk. Samara recalls reading how the legendary fashion designer, Antonio Mota, her new boss, acquired this artwork by the late Cuban artist Ana Mendieta for an exorbitant amount of money. The piece, titled Color Photo of Earth, depicts the artist covered in green grass and white flowers. In the article, Antonio said the image spoke to him. Even in death, Ana's message lives on. The banal enough statement became the pull quote for the article. Some say Mendieta was pushed out the window by her jealous lover, artist Carl Andre. It's interesting how the striking photo became a print on a pencil skirt Antonio sent down the runway last season. If Ana were still alive, would she have approved? A question the reporter failed to ask. Hi, I'm here to see... The receptionist stands. Good morning, you must be Samara. Welcome. We're so happy to have you be a part of our family. My name is Lake Montoya. Lake is tall and thin, with long black hair framing her profile. She wears all black from the designer's fall collection, a long clinging silk skirt and a form-fitting blazer with severe pointy shoulders. Samara spent the last couple of months committing to memory the various collections and the themes associated with each. Antonio started off in New York in the late 70s with violent, complicated designs that rarely translated into sales. Only a select few bold personalities were able to wear them. He eventually conquered Paris with his less intense creations. But as the years went by, his collections became more and more diluted. They became safe, easy. After the line for Target came out, his edge was gone. He wants... No.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?